This sermon I've named Fill Me Anew. And today, do we all know it's Pentecost Sunday today? Pentecost Sunday. This means that for me personally, and I suppose for you, we've all heard this story so many times. And it's one of my favourites, and no doubt it's one of your favourites, because it's a great time. In Acts 2, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, tongues of fire, always puts people running out and praising God. It puts a wonderful picture in our minds, doesn't it? One of the reasons the New Testament has so much to say to us today is how similar the cities were there then as they are now. It's hard to believe, but we have more in common with the cities then than we might imagine when we look into it. For instance, a first century Roman city would have been very much like the cities and towns we live in today. They would have had, written a list here, and just some of the things. They would have had crowded streets full of people, just like we have today. People of different races and cultures. So they were multicultural, just like we are today. They would have been people of great wealth. There would have been people living in great poverty. No different to today. Just like today, most people would have been in pursuit of security and status. We're all striving for more. And again, just like today in our towns and cities, materialism would have been rife, rampant. People wanting more and more and more. And like today, most people would have been searching for something. Before I was a Christian, I know I was searching in the wrong areas, in the wrong direction, but I was searching until I found Jesus. Well, he wasn't actually lost, but you know what I mean. Hence the people searching, hence a lot of different beliefs, cults and religions, then and today. So that gives us a pretty good picture of what life was like in a Roman city 2,000 years ago. So let's have a look at what happened leading up to and on the day of Pentecost. A lot of scriptures to read because it's God's word, not my word. So I'm going to read quite a few scriptures. In Luke 24, we read that Jesus appeared to the disciples after his crucifixion. He spoke to them, frightened them, because they wondered who it was. He ate with them, he had a meal with them, and he opened the scriptures to them. He showed them his hands, showed them his feet, showed them the holes in his hands. So they didn't believe who he was, proving that he was the risen Lord Jesus Christ. So this is what happened. This is Luke 24:44 and onwards. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and raise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of this, of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." So that's what happened before, leading up to. And in Acts 2, you all know this story, but I'm going to read it anyway because it's a great passage. Acts 2 tells us, I'm going to read 1:8, 11 and 12. This is in the NIV. "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed like, what seemed to be like, tongues of fire that separated and come and rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from nations under from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd come together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of them hears them in their own language? We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongue." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said they had too much wine. Then Peter stood up and basically he preached and told them what was happening. Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It is 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in these days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know." So, that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. They waited and they waited. They worshipped and they waited some more, because Jesus said, "Stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." And that day, it finally happened. God sent his Holy Spirit. But something worth noting. Who was it that was in the upper room worshipping God on this annual Jewish festival, Pentecost? The room where they was worshipping was full of Jewish people worshipping God and waiting. You see, I've jumped there. So when the Holy Spirit was poured out, it wasn't on the Gentiles, it was on the Jews at that point. But then we read in Acts 10:44, the Holy Spirit come on the Gentiles, that's you and me. When they believed, Peter was speaking again. So we see Peter was witnessing or preaching, and this is what happened. Acts 10:44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit come on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. I think they all probably stood in amazement with what God was doing, and is still doing this day. You see, back in Matthew 16 and 19, we see Jesus giving Peter the keys to the kingdom. This is what Jesus said to Matthew Matthew 16, 13 to 20. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea and Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. And also it says in Romans 10, 9 and 17, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that he has raised that he's raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So when we preach, when we witness, people hear. And it says there, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so it continues today. When we go out and spread the word like Peter, the Holy Spirit goes with us. So this morning, just to wrap up, there's a song we sing, and it's called "The Potter's Hand." The chorus goes like this: "Take me, mould me, use me, fill me." This morning, we're going to finish by singing this song together. I want to pray that the Holy Spirit ministers to each one of us as we sing this song together. So shall we stand to our feet and just sing this song?